everyone. Florian speaking. Hello, anyone here?
Hi, André here.
Hello.
Sonst noch niemand da?
Ein paar Zuhörer. Machen wir auf Englisch weiter. Just waiting for the other people to dial in. Christoph is trying to dial in at the moment. And I think we have two or three people in the audience listening, and I'm waiting for the rest. So if anyone of the steering committee is in, please don't forget to use the speaker code.
Hello, everybody. This is Thorsten.
Hi,
sorry,
Thorsten.
For being late.
Hello, Thorsten. So I just posted a link to the agenda in the wiki.
Okay, Florian. Hi, here's Christoph. I managed it finally.
Hi,
is there
Christoph.
Anybody else?
We have André and Thorsten in the line.
Yep. Hi.
Hi, André.
So the rest is still missing, I think.
I don't know who of you it is, but seems someone joined, and I once again have a terrible echo. I now switched to the telephone, but we should try for the next call to find it out. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, quite
fine.
And
perfectly.
And no echo this side, so hopefully.
It's strange. It worked the very first minutes, but anyway, now I'm on the telephone. It should work. So, I don't know where the rest of the steering committee is. I think it's just us four at the moment. So, make a start right now. So, several people edited the agenda shortly before the call, so I propose that we just do a reload. It's in the committee meetings page in the wiki. And thankfully someone added an agenda item of who's taking the minutes. I asked, but as I am trying to moderate the call, anyone else volunteering to take minutes for today?
Yes, I can do that.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thorsten, no bugs left.
No, I'm afraid. That's only later.
Okay.
So I added a very brief item. You have seen that I have been traveling a bit and just wanted to sum up the great feedback that we got at the latest events. There have been three of them. First was the Congress we had in Munich. Then I had a university speech on Friday, and on Saturday we had the Linux Day in Austria. And just very briefly, the feedback has been really good. We had lots of supportive messages, people saying that they wait for a final release, and universities, companies, private users saying that they support our step. Of course, they want to see that that's what we have promised the first days, that we will fulfill that. But my general take, at least for Germany and Austria, is that as soon as we have a final release out and we are having the foundation finally set up, that lots of people will be in strong support of LibreOffice, and in the following release cycles that people will also migrate to LibreOffice. I just wanted to share that with you, because we have a lot of work at the moment, and I think that the general public perceives it very, very well. That was my take. I think, Andrew, you can share the feelings from Munich, I guess.
Yes, at least for Munich, it's quite the same. People are aware of LibreOffice, and most of them are, yes, at least with us. So we got very positive feedback, I'd say.
Yeah, that's great. So, sorry, okay. Then one item I added, and I think this goes directly to Torsten, is a question we, of course, have been asked a lot of time. Any very short update you can give on the 3.3 release status? Will we likely see a build in December, a final version, or is it more likely that we will target January for the release?
Well, we talked about that, and it's, as always, kind of hard to come up with a definitive date for something like that. We will have a... So the next build, we aspire to have an RC1. So far, it looks like we should be able to do that end of the upcoming week. So, and then, of course, it all depends a little bit on how many blocker bugs are found. I think people are using the version, and bugs are coming in, so I don't expect to be really catastrophic new things to enter the bug tracker, but still there are quite a few bugs, and also the OpenOffice.org version is not released yet, and it's not final yet. And we definitely want to take the latest fixes from there. So, yeah, I think middle of December is already quite ambitious for final release. That would be my take for the while.
Well, so that said, that it's... Well, might be middle of December. I think middle of December is not the best date for final release.
Yes, I agree. But you were not asking for best date, but for an estimation.
Yeah. Okay. So if we can have, you said end of next week we'll have an RC1 or kind of RC. I would suggest to wait for the Christmas holidays and let people do more testing, and then focus on the release in early January.
Hello everyone, Josh speaking. Sorry for the delay.
Hi Charles.
Hey.
Hello. I would like to throw in another question concerning.
Let's probably just postpone a decision on that, because I think it's likely that we will slip even past middle of December, so the whole question could become moot anyway.
Yeah, it was just a suggestion, nothing to decide now.
Then again, I mean, if the version is ready, why not release it? But I think it's just let's discuss it when the time has come.
So Torsten?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not muted. Okay, good. Just another thing, a question which came up on the design mailing list. We do have one person who is back, and currently started to work on own MIME type icons. So not only the branding stuff, which is already or can be considered finalized, but there is a real chance to have some kind of placeholder MIME type icons. If we release with the release candidates and if we target a release beginning of January, does it make sense to work on that? Because at the moment we do have the old GAL-styled Galaxy icons there.
Yes. Well, I don't think that changing MIME type icons would likely cause large regressions. So personally, I wouldn't have a problem to put that in even post RC1. I don't know whether there is help or other PR material or stuff like that that requires screenshots, depending on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, if we have to prepare material that contains screenshots and that depends on those icons, it's already getting late as of today. So coming back to your question, yes, I do think it makes sense because those are quite clearly sun-branded still, those old icons that we have. But I don't think people should start working days and night just to make some Tuesday deadline or something.
Okay, but basically we can engage them to continue. I'm not so worried about the marketing material because the icons are small, but we would have some better, let's say, appearance on the desktops of the users once they downloaded it. So I just understand your explanation as, yes, you may continue, yes, putting it into post RC1 isn't that much a problem, and if we make it, we can propose it and there is a real chance to get this included. Is it correct?
Yes. And if somebody has a problem with that, I personally won't have a problem doing some whatever 3.3.0.1 release in January. Just in case somebody has a problem with putting that in post RC1. So we really don't, I don't think we really are bound to this 3 month cycle, whatever. We can release whenever we have something new, and new icons definitely is something new I would get out.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. So then I just needed information basically for the next marketing call, and I, Thorsten, I agree that we should look into not changing too much when we approach the release date. We have to prepare websites and screenshots and the like and materials. So, yeah, I agree. So the next action item on the agenda would be talking about the structure of the native language websites. Anyone has a deeper insight in that? I don't know if Christian Lohmeyer is around. Otherwise, I can try to sum up what I know at the moment.
If you want, Florian, I just would like to make an opening comment, and based on that comment, you're, of course, everybody's free to kill me, but...
yes, of course.
As the former lead of that gigantic NLC thing, which has been, of course, probably OpenOffice.org's one of the greatest successes of OpenOffice.org, I would actually like to say that one of the differences between yesterday, that is OpenOffice.org, and today, Document Foundation and LibreOffice, is that essentially many of the reasons, I mean some of the reasons at least, to have a completely separate structure in a sense for native language projects has gone. Very few people know this. Maybe Sophie, if she's on the call. Sophie, are you on the call? No? Okay. Very few people know this, but part of the reason why there used to be at the beginning a native language category was that we really wanted to nurture a community which was just completely absent at the very beginning of the OpenOffice.org project. Now, so it sort of built itself as a counter power in a sense, inside OpenOffice. And it was always the case. But at the same time, this went and this created walled gardens and this created, you know, a lack of communication. And of course, the website did not fix things. But what I'm trying to say here is I'm, in as much as I'm, my reaction on the list would have been the same as Sophie's. You know, we don't want to be some sort of downstream translator of whatever will be written in English. I think, you know, we can have all the mailing lists we want for different languages, but please, let's not reproduce monolithic structure inside LibreOffice that we would call native language. You know, we want a page, you know, let's have a page. We want several pages, let's have several pages. Mailing list, forums, anything you want. But please, let's not build silos, because it's more counterproductive than anything, and also it does not create teams. It just adds burdens on teams. It constrains teams, and you know that's not what we want to have. I mean, again, these people and the translators and localizers do not have to fight against someone here. We are in charge, so you know. That's it. That's what I wanted to say.
Do you mean this just referring to the term, or we had a discussion earlier on when we were talking about probably even going that far of giving the local groups, whatever you want to call them, that we don't necessarily want them to publish their content in the structure we provide, but that they can have fully independent infrastructure and design and whatever. So which part are you actually referring to at the moment?
I'm actually referring to, you know, there was that discussion, I think, on the website or the TDF discuss list where some people were saying, well, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this page in English, and then everybody else will be able to translate it.
Okay.
It was badly taken by Sophie and other people, saying that there's no, we're not going to start that way. And I think Sophie was right. But what I'm trying to say here, please let's not create too much structure. I'm not so much into saying you can have everything outside of us. I mean, it's true. I mean, that is an essential freedom, but that's not my point. My point is let's not create silos inside the LibreOffice project. We're all together. There's no one's going to jump up on the other one. There's not one corporate sponsor who wants to stalk everyone and say, oh, yeah, you know, well, now you should be doing this. What I'm saying is we are in charge. There's no need for protection. There's no need for a silo. We are the silo, you know?
Yeah, now my take on this is that we provided all the structure and the framework, and we can give examples of content that people could translate, but I fully agree that if any of the teams wants to have something different, a different structure, different content, whatever, as long as it fits our goals, it's of course they're I'm happy that or happy if they do so. I don't want to enforce anyone to just stupidly copy any content they find, definitely. I think what the main problem at the moment is that there has been a rather good start, but from what I have heard from Christian Lohmeyer and what I have read on the German list is that at the moment we have all the structure we need so people can put in their content, set up their sites and the like. But what's missing actually for a lot of languages is actually content. Like looking at the German page, we're not in a state that we could publish it yet, I think. And that's a sort of problem.
Okay. But that's even a different problem. It's a different level of problem, let's say.
Yeah.
So would somebody take an action item here to maybe get out with a call for action in the native lang communities or spread the word there?
I mean, this has to be done literally case by case.
What I can do, I have to contact Christian anyway. I will contact Christian Lohmeyer, and he probably has the best overview because he's the one giving the rides and setting up the sites at the moment. So I will ask him what the current status is or what his perception is and try to provide a summary by sometime next week where we stand, actually. So if the situation is really worse or if we just need some more content before we can go live with the different pages. that's what I can do.
Cool,
just writing it down. Because I think, and we have been asked this very often, people want localized content. They want content more focused also on the product. And like in Germany, Jacqueline drafted a FAQ with the basic questions like what happened and why and how will the future look like. And this is a sheet of paper that we have with us on trade shows and speeches. And if we finally have a website that contains this very basic information in local language, just as an example, this would be very good and would have a lot of people who are not into too much detail to understand what's going on and to take a bit of fear from them that things might stop or anything will get really ugly. I think it's important that we approach people in their language.
Mm.
That's the thing. We only have English pages. We have localized mailing lists, of course, but for the casual user from Germany, from France, from Spain, wherever, wanting to get just some information in local language, there still is nothing. And that's something we really should work on to have it finalized or to have at least something we can start with going public, I'd say even in December before a final release. I think it's quite important.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I will ping Christian and ask what's the current status and what we need to do. So, anything else regarding this action item? No, obviously not. So, I think I'm a bit lost on the next point, which is also website on the Silverstripe website. So, I think it goes the same with what we had at the moment. Any one of you has any comment or who added this action item?
I believe I did, Florian. Actually, I had a much more simpler question, and yeah, indeed, it was more perhaps targeted to Christian. But I just want to make sure that I understood him well. That is, right now we're missing content, not just localized content, but content in general.
Yes.
But the website is ready. Is that the case?
It's
what's the meaning of my question, actually?
Technically spoken, people can get accounts, and we have already, as far as I understood, lots of people apart from Christian who can set up the necessary rights, so everybody can just drop in content. We're actually in quotation marks, missing the content. From the technical side, everything seems to work, I think, as far as I understood.
Mm, okay.
So the structure is there, and we can set up a bunch of new subdomains and projects and whatever, but we are missing content for that. That's the point, I think, the problem that we had. Then I'll jump right to the next action item, which goes a bit in term with that. You remember that 2, 3, or even 4 weeks ago we had a discussion on how to approach setting up the localized mailing list. And some of you might have seen that I started by setting up, I don't know, 15 or 20 languages, new mailing lists, and some of them have been accepted very well. Others are, nearly dead at the moment because just nothing happens there. It's for languages where I have no comparison if there has been more activity with an OpenOffice org. The point I want to throw in is that right now I think it is not a good idea of just setting up for the outstanding, I don't know, 20 or 30 languages that we had with OpenOffice org, setting up a list. I'd rather do this from now on demand in order to not have a bunch of lists nobody uses, but rather set up any list when there is a valid request for it. Or would you take a different approach?
Yeah, I would agree on that, Florian.
Okay. It's now we can script it. It's just a matter of minutes, but we then have a cluttered website with 50 languages and only 20 lists are active. I think that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. So then on to the more complicated stuff, I think. The community bylaw status. I think Charles and maybe Andrea, you're the right ones to give updates or tell where we stand on this one.
Go ahead, Andre.
That's just what I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, okay, so here's the status. I still have, actually, I want to do that pretty much right now. I still have to enter the result of our latest discussion on the steering discussed list, which is a simplification of the election of the chairman, as well as reviewing the ESC final status. I think outside of this, we're pretty much done now. That's pretty much the final input we have. I still wonder if there are more input coming in, but pretty much good.
Just a question. The latest version, I just found time over the weekend to look at it. The latest version is in the community bylaws page on the wiki. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so I must confess I didn't follow all the discussion. I just read some of the emails. So just very briefly, if I may add a few comments, if they have been already discussed, we don't need to elaborate on them again. Then just tell me. But what I was thinking about is actually the following points. Let me see where my notes here. I think this has been in discussion, but I don't know the outcome. Regarding the board of directors, there is currently in the draft the limitation on how many terms the board of directors should run. I see pros and cons for the current limitation that we have, which states that we have a term of duty of 1 year, I think, and a total of two terms can be done, so a total of 2 years, if I understood it correctly.
Okay. I mean, yes. But basically, it's 2 years. It's two terms. Then you have to pass. But then you can rerun.
Okay. So what I'm thinking whether this makes sense. On the pro side, I think it's good that there is some movement inside and that it that we don't elect someone and he or she just sits on a role for 5 years and nothing happens. That's something we clearly want to avoid. On the other hand, what I could also think can happen if we have a lot of active people there and then after 2 years they have to leave and have to make a break. And I'm still not sure on how this could be fixed. As said, I see a pros for pros and cons for the solution, but I don't know if we really have people actively contributing and moving things forward that they have to leave after a certain amount of time.
Well, that's quite easy. Just because you are not at the board of directors anymore, you do not need to take a break in your activities. You just can continue.
Yeah. Or you can take the power and make a putsch.
Or you can fork, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, really, I do not see the problem with people not being re-elected after a certain time, because they really can just continue to work on their items. I don't see this problem.
I agree. So when you look around how many names are at the core of this new community, and as far as I can tell, we have like 7 or 8 people serving on the board. Is that correct?
Nine.
Or even nine, yeah. But I don't see problem at all to have... what we should definitely encourage, and I think this suggestion was made on the list already, is to encourage 2 or 3 or 4 people to leave their seat after 1 year, so that we have kind of... That was in the context of the staggering voting scheme, so that not the whole board leaves after 2 years and no experience is left. So. And in terms of people in the community, I don't see problem at all to have enough motivated and experienced people for the board.
Okay, so yeah, I think it has already been discussed. And just one thought that popped to my mind. But if there have been discussions on that, I'm sure I'm happy to agree. Of course. Then I think the second point is about, and maybe Travis can very, very briefly let me know what the exact role of the chairperson is. My thought is that, but correct me if I'm wrong, that you can see a chairman, a chairperson, whatever, in two aspects. One would be that just you legally need someone in front of the foundation taking over certain tasks just for legal reasons, he or she not necessarily would have to be just legally spoken a part of that community, just like the Geschäftsführer in Germany, where you have someone on a paid or non-paid basis, whatever, is taking the daily tasks. What I'm thinking is, what role will the chairperson of the foundation have, and is it legally required? Because my thought is that all what happened up to now is that we have a lot of people, a group of people actually driving all the stuff forward that's currently happening. So just from let me call it a philosophical approach, I don't see from the community side the need of having one single person representing the foundation if it's not legally needed.
So I don't think it's legally needed. I mean, basically, I have not done this in a spirit of saying, "Oh, it's gonna be, we need someone legally speaking." But let's see it in a different way. Basically, I know it's worth what it would. In Parisian, it's worth what it's worth. But let's put this in a form of a country. Let's say, so you got a parliament. And let's say the parliament is the board of directors, by which I mean this is the legislative power. The board of directors has pretty much the entire powers you want. And if you can look at many foundation laws, you will find that that's the case. The real power rests within the board of trustees or the board of directors. It depends how you name it, okay? So that's where the power, legal power, and representation lies. Now, the board of directors can have officers. One of these officers is the chairman. Now, the chairman is nothing else than the president in Germany,
mm-hmm.
Queen in England. You might think, but why the hell do we need a queen or a German president? Well, because what we need, what I'm saying, representation, we need someone who can, you know, for instance, act as a proxy or as a hub or as an ombudsman inside our community. We can have someone who can be the informal arbiter inside our community process. We also need someone, I think, who can, they'll just represent us, you know. We don't need to have this made legal, so to speak. We can need someone who can fly over and represent us while someone is away.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the role of the chairman. And I agree that actually part of this is honorific. Then you have someone who's an officer and who's just running the daily task. But I mean running the daily task meaning running the business in a sense.
Yeah.
If you want to talk like an American, running the business, running the activity, and that's the executive director. But the chairman at the chairman level, it's something which is, when I'm saying representation, it's what we call the role is being representational. There might be instances where, depending on the legal type you're choosing or you're considering, you might need a president. The ones that I've been investigating did not require one, but that, you know, I did not investigate all of them far from that. So, you know, to me, I never really thought of the chairman as being someone we legally were required to have. I always thought of the chairman as someone who could be more of a hub and a representative of us, someone with some high pedigree that can be literally flown when we need and who can have enough clout and networking possibilities to make things happen. That's all, really.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Makes sense. I like the comparison with a country. That makes sense. Totally. What I wonder, just let me know if there has been a discussion on this. Does it make sense to then not limit the term of office for the chairman? I mean,
yeah, sure.
Okay.
But, I mean, at the same time, he's supposedly being, which is not written yet, but he's supposedly being nominated by the board of directors. Now that he's only being nominated by the board of directors, yeah, it makes sense. We can absolutely do that. Yeah.
Sorry, what can we do? I didn't get the last sentence.
Now that the German is being nominated by the board of directors and he doesn't have to be like elected by a special college of the ESD or the AB or anything. We don't have to run special elections anymore. If he's only being nominated or appointed by the board of directors, you don't have to set a limit anymore.
Okay. Given that the BOD will change at least all 2 years or every 2 years. Okay. Yeah. Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Then I think just one small note. What I think in practical terms it will happen more often. But there is a paragraph stating that. That it's considered recommendable for the advisory board and board of directors to hold one meeting per year. I think if we're talking about a real meeting where people have to fly in from several countries, of course, but what I would like to see is, and we have it similarly in our German association, they definitely should meet more often. I would at least propose, for example, an online or virtual meeting maybe once a quarter, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I recall something like monthly telecons to be written down there.
Or even that.
But I don't.
I think it was written weekly or biweekly. Biweekly would be good, I think.
Okay. They're definitely more than once per year. I think in practical terms it will happen, but I think it's important that these entities or these organs of the foundation. Are somehow forced, in quotation marks, to communicate more often. I think that's very important.
Yeah. I don't think there's any disagreement here. Mm. And that's why I even think writing that down doesn't probably make too much sense. But anyway.
Well, if we mention a time frame, and at the moment it's once per year, I'd like to have this, or I propose to have this, changed biweekly or once a month is a good proposal, I think.
Yeah. So once annually, that's clearly nonsense. If there is something annually, then it should be an in-person meeting. I would like to have that at least once per year.
Yeah, I think we could write both once a year in person and then at least once a month. I think we could state in bylaws that would make sense in for online meetings or phone conferences. I propose that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just let me look if I have anything else. Sorry for jumping in so late, but I was so totally swamped with stuff that I didn't find time earlier.
No, I mean, and we're in the closing, I would say, phase of this of these bylaws. I mean, it's.
But for the rest, I think I. Board of Directors, here we are. I think that's everything I had in mind. So, yeah, okay. Then. Anything else to this point, or David Nelson is asking in IRC. Let's just let me read. Yeah, Andre, I totally agree. We are drafting these bylaws in public and do discussions on the mailing list, and I think that's a good one. David Nelson, for those who are not an IFC, David Nelson is asking whether the community is asked about their opinion other than being able to speak up and comment during this present process. But I think that's all we can do at the moment.
I think if David, if you're listening to us, hello, David. Well, you know, here's the thing, David. We can, I mean, I'm all for input. But I'm also, what I also think is that, you know, we're presenting a first draft, then we're talking about this draft, we're amending this draft, and then if no one is yelling, then we consider there's no fundamental problem with this. Frankly speaking, there are motivated people and unmotivated people. And I strongly believe that the number of motivated people is usually smaller than the number of unmotivated people. So, you know, don't get me wrong, we're going to make one or two or three perhaps back and forth. And, you know, we're going to work on the language with you, and then we'll say, that's it? No one speaking? Okay, done. Because we have to move on, essentially.
Yes, I completely agree. So so everybody who's not happy with the current state of affairs for the bylaws, please speak up on the list. But please, in a constructive way, just it's not too helpful to say, I don't like this. It's much more helpful to say, I don't like this, but what about this other suggestion I have?
Yeah. And I think there's a fair amount of discussion going on. Anyone who is not recognizing or recognizing it or taking part in it, we can't ask everyone individually. We're on our main discussion list, on open list, and also on the steering discuss list, pointing to it in the concourse. So I think anyone who has a real interest in giving comments has a fair chance to do so. Okay, anything else to the community bylaws, or can we move on?
Okay,
then
move on, I think.
I think we can move on. So the next point is, and I'm keen to hear who added this and can give input, is follow up on the charter or guidelines with local associations. I think, I guess, Andre or Charles, I'm not sure.
Okay. I think it's both Andre and me, actually. So go ahead, Andre.
So I'm currently not sure what the topic is about, honestly.
Yeah, same for me. That's why I asked you.
So I think I've been the one who wrote that down.
Okay.
So I think on our last call we started to talk about you know, a charter or a set of guidelines for between local associations and the Document Foundation. So it was two things were agreed. Well, yeah, agreed in a sense. One was that we needed a set of guidelines. We can call that a charter, which is very basic and need to set up the ground rules with us between, you know, how we work, what's the basis of our cooperation. And the second is, and that was Italo's idea, which people actually thought it was actually quite interesting and nice, that the board of directors at some point, but pretty early on, could set up what we call an association committee. It's a consultative committee that is made of representatives of local associations, and, you know, it can act as a very quick communication channel in case there's a problem or anything. The genesis of all this, so that everybody has the context, is that there has been several initiatives, and, you know, initiatives we have to commend and encourage, of course, of local associations and businesses. So, you know, we may want to have two sort of guidelines. Who started, you know, pretty early on saying, okay, let's do something. Here I have two examples on the business side. You know, there was people like Ian Lynch, and I think we need to work on how to address his plan that we do welcome, of course. And the second thing was, for instance, the French Association. Well, the French Association, as you may know, delivered a press release saying that we're saluting and congratulating the Document Foundation, that they were extremely happy by the birth of the Document Foundation, that would from now on side with us and work with us, although in a spirit of responsibility that would still serve the needs of OpenOffice.org users, and they would continue to monitor the OpenOffice.org project with caution. That was the expression. But what they asked on the French LibreOffice list, they ask for specific questions. How do we work with you? Do we have to give you money? you have to give us money? Do we have to send you a representative? Can you help us with insurance fees? You know, think, you know, very, very, very simple, sometimes basic things, and also very important ones. So we need to be addressing them, not just for the French, but, you know, in general.
I see. I think it's quite the same for Germany. I think we have the same questions. But for the moment, I do not have answers. I have some ideas, but not answers yet. So let's say, let's work on this in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think we can do this by mail. If you have concrete questions from France or anywhere else, we can collect them and then see for answers.
Okay.
Okay, then I think we can move on to the last action item on the agenda, which is a question about, let me read, it's a bit longer. Friends of Open Document has offered to produce printed copies. It seems that there is a reaction from the steering committee asked where the Friends of Open Document want to produce books, I think, with the LibreOffice logo and name, I guess, and want to, as a payback, give us at least parts of the revenue as donations. So, who of the
Friends of Open Document? What?
Who added that point? It's Friend of Open Document.
David added this.
Ah, okay. Then I think David, you're on the call. Can you just ping via ICQ? Then I would open up the call for anyone, so you can just directly speak out. So I'll just now open the microphones for everyone, and I hope David is on the line and can, just 1 second, and can give a comment. So the room should be, 1 second, open right now. So, hello, David. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Cool. Hi. Good day.
Hello, David.
So we had the. Hello. Is that Charles?
Yeah.
Hello, Charles.
Hello, David.
Yeah. Okay. So we had the documentation conference call today, and Jean Hollis Weber. Suggested this idea that an organization she's involved with called Friends of Open Document would be interested in producing printed copies of the documentation that we're producing, the user documentation, and that profits from the book sales could go to the TDF. Now, obviously, before they could actually proceed with something like this, they would need some kind of go-ahead from you. I should just point out that they're already set up, properly set up with all the infrastructure for producing this documentation and marketing site as well through Amazon. What do you guys think about that?
Well, in line with the topic we had before for setting up guidelines for collaboration.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I absolutely like this idea. I mean, that's awesome. It's a great offer. Two things. I think that suits pretty well into this this more broader topic of collaboration with associations, as outlined before. And second, I don't think we can make a decision today because we don't have a quorum. So this is pretty much all just personal opinion, but yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, well, I shall come back with this idea in the future when you guys are perhaps a little more able to take a firm decision, and also you'd have to give them some like official go ahead.
Yeah, so I think
so
that
this
also,
will be.
I think that also relates to the trademark usage, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that would certainly involve that because the logos and stuff like that would be all over the documentation, I guess.
Yeah. But I, but from what you said and what's written there in the agenda, I think that's pretty much in line with what we had in mind for that. So I don't see a problem there.
Basically, okay. Yes, I agree. We can't make an official decision yet, but basically, I like the idea, and that's just speaking for myself now. But that's I think what we all had in mind with using the logo and the trademark in cases like this. We surely have to look into detail, but basically, I like the idea definitely.
Well, I'll back with the idea when you guys are in a situation where you can take an official decision.
Well, I think the official decision can be taken on mailing list, but we should have an idea what we should decide about.
Yeah.
From my point of view, the only thing to decide about is if we allow the usage of the trademark, or am I wrong with this?
I think you're right. I think
it's part of the technical allow
and under what conditions?
Okay, well, I'll put together a kind of more detailed proposition and post it to the SC mailing list sometime over the next few days then, and that'll give you more information to think about.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, so steering committee as well as our audience, is there any other action item you would like to add? Anything
we'd like to ask? Well, I could just ask a question since I'm there.
Sure.
So the community bylaws are one subject of conversation. I just wanted to get it clear about the foundation. Is this going to be based in Germany, based in France? I haven't got that very clear in my head, I'm afraid.
Actually, we're in the process of making a decision on that. Obviously, what we can tell you is that it's not going to be based in the United States, and I think outside of that, I would probably either wander into unknown territories or go too much into details that at this stage would be almost irrelevant to discuss. There are basically different parameters for us to take into account, and I think we haven't sorted these parameters entirely at this stage. But at the same time, we're also aware that we need to make a decision pretty fast.
Right. Would it be possible for you guys to give some kind of update on all this situation on the mailing list? I really think people need waking up about the bylaws, for instance. I'm pretty happy with the draft, the way they're drafted right now. You know, they look really good. But I think people need a kick up the ass just to wake them up and say, hey, look, you know, this is your community, your bylaws, you know, get in there, say something.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not really, as I told you before, I'm really not surprised about this. I mean, I think you will find people who will say, you know, well, it's cool like that. And then you will find a lot of people who are, in fact, not really motivated to discuss these things. It's a bit unfortunate, perhaps, but it's like that, too, I would say.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't like to see it turning into, you know, like a shouting match like there was in the beginning about the name and LibreOffice and all that stuff, in which a lot of people say, oh, I don't like it, but they were not coming up with any sensible arguments. You know, people should certainly come up with, if people speak up, then they should have some thinking behind what they say. But I'm quite surprised. I really thought that people would be more attentive to this subject.
Well, you know, they could be attentive to so many more subjects in their daily lives and in their, you know.
I'd like to jump in here. Here's Christoph speaking. I think it's normal for that kind of stuff because many people, maybe me included, myself included, are not that settled with that kind of stuff. And it requires real thinking and also a little bit experience to judge whether it's it is working on or will working work or not. If you have something which is based on personal impression or just gut feeling, like a name or like a color, it's far easier to say something without stating any serious rationale for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
basically, I'm happy that people stepped in, and I saw a lot of critical questions, and this is where I think. Even if there are only 10 or 15 people within this discussion, if this discussion is high quality, I'm absolutely fine with that.
Well, I quite understand that. It's better to have 10 or 15 intelligent opinions rather than a shouting match of 100 people with no rational arguments.
Yeah, but you're also right that maybe a little bit waking up might help. So just... Charles, you stated that maybe it's just a week until those guidelines should be finished. Maybe you could just announce that you have 1 week left to ask questions
and
finalize stuff.
Yeah, I can do that, yeah.
Mm. Would it be fine, David? Would it help? Or?
Yeah, I think, if it was my choice, I would probably say, well, extend it to 2 weeks. Maybe 1 week is a little bit short. I understand the urgency of getting this thing finalized, but my suggestion would be to make it like as long as 2 weeks, maybe.
But honestly, I doubt that there will be much more feedback. I based on the experience we made in the past with other discussions, I think we just would wait for 2 weeks without real feedback. Call me pessimistic, but I think it would be the outcome. So I think my proposal is to wait 1 week, and if we see people are actually trying to contribute, we can extend it then. But if we tell people you have 2 weeks, then they will take 1 week and 6 days until they start looking into it, at least most people. That's what I fear.
I understand your point of view, yeah.
So
it sounds like a good compromise, yeah.
If we announce 1 week and we really see people are... raising their hands and contributing, I see no problem with extending for one more week, but we really should set the deadline earlier, like you do with any call for papers, for example, where you always have latecomers. Have an early deadline and then extend if needed.
Yeah, that sounds sensible to me.
So, David, this is Thorsten. I wonder, I sense some notion of concern on your side, so why would you think it's so important to have many more people commenting?
Well, it's just that, as you know, I've been sort of like going over the English and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I see a couple of places where things seem a little bit vague. Now, if you're asking me to put you specific examples right at this second, I wouldn't be able to put some on the table right now. But, for instance, like at the end, it's still pretty vague. It seems to need a little bit of... I don't know, in my opinion, more definitive ways of appointing people and voting for people such that there can be no controversial situations in the future. Perhaps the best thing for me to do would be to come up with some specific instances and post them to the mailing list and just, you know, point them out, you have a chance to think about it and possibly address the question.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Apart from that, well, I personally, I'm fairly happy with the current state of affairs for the bylaws. Partly because what we see there is mostly an amalgamation of existing bylaws from other foundations. So this is not coming out of the blue sky, but this kind of
I certainly like the general tone of them. You know, I'm really behind the general tone of them. I think, you know, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Charles, I didn't have time to draft that bit you asked me to draft.
Please, don't worry. I mean, we're all caught into our own daily stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's I'm probably going to perhaps have a look at myself well. Because I see some one or two areas where we need just to add more details. Beside that, and the chairman thing, German election, I think, for good. But obviously,
yeah, the chairman. Okay, yeah, well, I just read what you put and you know, respond with
okay.
Reasoned questions and stuff like that.
Good.
Okay, so if there's nothing more, then I propose we move on closing this call for today and hear each other again next week. Is
okay.
there anything else? No?
No.
Okay, so then thanks for your time. David, thanks for joining us and giving comments. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and many
yeah,
thanks
very much, Florian. Florian, if you, you remember, can you like mail me the new moderator's pin when you change it? It sounds like we would probably go ahead with another documentation conference call in the future.
Just ping me when you need another call. The issue is that at the moment this room is tied to my personal account. But if you ping me in time and there is no conflict with other conferences, I'm happy to set up and send out the details. That's no problem. Sorry for the mistake. Maybe just use the wrong pin and send it out to you. But just drop me an email and I'll set up a room for you to use.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
okay.
You.
Then have a nice day, evening, morning, whatever it is. And
okay.
See you next week.
See you.
Yep. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.